fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Dementia is the second leading cause of death of Australians, and with 447,115 affected patients and around 25,000 with younger onset dementia, it's always important to bring awareness to the condition and to talk about steps towards taking prevention and the treatment. Well, this week on Fitter Happier, it's Dementia Action Week, and to talk us through it is Sean Ma from Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital. Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's a big week for Dementia Action Week, but could you start off by talking us through dementia and why it's so important that we talk about it?
So dementia is really a broad term that covers a lot of conditions that all have a common theme of impairing people's thinking, memory, judgment, insight, reasoning, everyday living abilities. So there's over 150 different causes of dementia. They're all quite sort of different, but the common ones are common in older people. And as you know, we've got an increasingly ageing demographic, and so we'll be seeing a lot more in the way of numbers of people with dementia. And so it's going to be an increasing concern for us, and something we have to plan for, something we have to manage. It's important for people to be aware of dementia, so that when people know about early warning signs, they can seek assessment, because early assessment can make a big difference. We often uncover conditions or problems that we can fix and improve people's lives or their quality of lives, even if we can't fix the dementia. It's also important, as you've just said, it's the second leading cause of death in Australia, so it's a public health priority. It needs to be a health priority, and we need to be making plans for how we manage people better in our health system, but also how we manage people better in the community, that we can still integrate people with dementia and their carers into the community to give them as good a quality of life and meaningful engagement as we can.
Okay, so this naive ability might come out a bit here, but how is dementia the second biggest cause of death? So we know that it affects the way people think and whatnot, but how does it actually lead to death?
That's a good question. So the most common causes of dementia are those ones that we see in older people, like Alzheimer's dementia. There are a number of other sorts of dementia. Vascular dementia is caused by lots of little strokes. There's a number of other ones we can talk about later. But it leads to the brain gradually deteriorating. And, of course, the brain controls everything we do. So what we start to see is towards the end stages is people develop a lot of frailty. They have other problems as a consequence of their dementia, such as swallowing impairment that leads to them getting pneumonia. They often sort of waste away because of poor nutrition, have falls, and unfortunately the end stages of dementia is not necessarily a pretty one, with people losing their ability to communicate, to walk, might need to be nursed in bed at the end stages, not able to talk, maybe getting pressure sores, contractures. So the commonest sort of ending is really, although it sounds horrible, can be relatively peaceful with a pneumonia and quietly slipping away. But the underlying reason for that person getting the pneumonia is their brain wearing away from dementia. People are living better and longer because we've been able to prevent things like strokes and heart attacks, and people live longer. So we're now seeing people surviving into their 70s, 80s, 90s, and the incidence of dementia just increases as age increases.
So let's talk about, we've just talked about it being in our older generation, but let's talk about younger onset dementia. What is that?
So younger onset dementia is technically people who get dementia before the age of 65. The sorts of causes of dementia in younger people are still the same causes in older people. It's Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common source of dementia. It's vascular dementia, frontotemporal dementia, Huntington's disease. In younger people, though, we always get concerned that we're maybe missing some more important, potentially reversible or other sources of medical problems. So younger people are much more important in the sense that we need to be assessing those people earlier. We're more likely to find something we can fix and treat. In younger people, it's more likely that you may have a genetic cause, an inherited cause of dementia. So there are a number of mutations, genetic mutations that are well described that result in early onset dementia. So that might be people in their 30s and 40s. Unfortunately, in Colombia and South America, there is one town where there's a very large proportion of the town that have early onset dementia caused by a genetic mutation that's been able to be traced back to the 1500s, introduced by a Spanish conquistador. For life in that town is very different. So people get dementia in their, you know, late 20s, 30s, just when they're in the midst of life, bringing up children, working, and certainly in Australia it's the same scenario. So early onset dementia brings with it a whole host of different problems that we don't see in older people. People with younger onset dementia have still got families, are working, and it does make a life much more challenging, and there's a lot more issues to deal with.
Sean Meyer is with us at the moment on Fitter Happier. We're talking dementia. Now, Sean, that's quite I don't want to say scary, but it almost is that. I didn't realise dementia, you know, can affect such a wide range of people, and for no seemingly reason at all.
So yes, it's a little bit of a genetic lottery, but I guess younger onset dementia is quite uncommon, and really the bulk of, you know, the large proportion of people with dementia are getting it in their older years. So it's people in their late 60s, 70s, 80s. But yes, that is of concern, and so in younger people, problems with thinking, memory, cognition, everyday living may be due to other things. It might be due to medications, it might be depression, it might be other medical causes. So, and similarly in older people, so it does warrant proper early assessment. So, you know, when people do have concerns, they can see their GP and get referred on to see a geriatrician, a neurologist, a psychiatrist, somebody who's capable of making those sorts of assessments.
Okay, so we talked about one of the symptoms to watch out for is loss of memory, but are there any other symptoms that we should be looking out for?
Sure, so the memory loss actually is more short-term memory. It's forgetting things that happen, it's rapid forgetting. It's things that happened, you know, yesterday, today, and often people with short-term memory loss will be, you know, quite repetitive, because you'll talk to them about something and then they'll ask you the same question again and again, which so that repetitiveness is very typical of Alzheimer's type dementia.
So I can't blame it on me forgetting to put the bin out.
No, everybody has those little moments where you're distracted, you're busy, you've got too many things on your plate, you're a bit tired. There's all sorts of reasons why you might forget something or not pay attention. And so, you know, not to worry when you have those little slips. But when it becomes a recurring theme and it's been going on for months and the memory lapses are getting sort of more significant, that's when it becomes a problem. So the memory lapses mean that people's lives become a bit more disorganised. As you say, they forget to put the bin out, they forget to pay the bills. They lose their ability to plan and sequence things, and so things like everyday tasks like cooking or driving, getting lost driving, not managing their financial affairs. They may be easy targets for scams, phone scams and those sorts of things. Other sorts of features you might see is people having trouble with calculation, with language, with expressing themselves or understanding language. And then you may also have difficult problems with behaviour. So people may develop behavioural issues like becoming a bit paranoid, thinking someone's stealing their stuff because they've misplaced it, maybe having delusions, hallucinations, becoming apathetic, withdrawn, isolated, irritable, volatile. Often you may see people with significant personality changes. Most people don't. Most people with Alzheimer's disease, for instance, really it's just a matter of mainly forgetfulness. They're usually the same person they've always been.
So there's a wide range of things.
There's a wide range, and it's oft quoted that everybody's dementia journey is different, mm-hmm. and everybody will travel through that with different aspects of their abilities intact. or not.
So are there ways to prevent or treat it?
If you don't mind, I might talk about treatment first because that's the easiest bit, and then we might talk about prevention. So treatment for dementia involves having a proper assessment. So seeing a GP, possibly getting referred to a specialist, having making sure there's no other medical illness or things like side effects of medications, or the fact that your thyroid gland isn't working, or you're low in vitamin B12 or something like that, things which are easy to fix. So you need a proper assessment and going on to make the diagnosis. There are treatments for some of the common forms of dementia, so Alzheimer's disease, Lewy body dementia, and the dementia that people get with Parkinson's disease when they've had the condition for sort of 7 to 10 years. We do have some treatments that make a difference, but these are treatments which help with the symptoms. They're not cures. So it's a bit like taking Panadol for your arthritis. It makes you feel better, you move better, you function better, but it doesn't fix the underlying problem. So these medicines help by providing a bit of neurotransmitter that helps one brain cell talk to the next brain cell better, and so overall people function better. They seem a bit brighter, a bit sharper, a bit better organised, but often the memory doesn't get a whole lot better. But it does kind of stabilise things, and it provides people with a bit more time to be stable and carry on at home for longer.
Sure. So it's not, you know, there's a little bit, there's something out there that we can do.
So there are things that we can do. So the medicines is one thing, but once someone has a diagnosis of dementia, it's important that they do get referred on to support services, because it is an overwhelming sort of diagnosis, and people need appropriate support, care and guidance. And so, you know, they may need an aged care assessment, they may need support of the Alzheimer's WA support group. So it's important to get that early assessment in. That actually makes a big difference to carers and people with dementia as to how long they can carry on at home if they have that proper education and support, knowing what's in store, how you manage it. At this point, we don't have any magic treatments. There's always, trials going on and new discoveries and new things which are being tried, and that's important that we keep doing those things. We are fortunate to have one group in town, the Alzheimer's Association Research Foundation, who do carry out trials, including international trials, so we do have access to some of those things. In terms of prevention, it wouldn't be fair to say that we can prevent dementia. We can look at it more like risk reduction, and so there's lots of things that put people at risk of dementia that we can address, like getting good education when we're young, learning a second language, managing our blood pressure, our cholesterol, stopping smoking, you know, moderate alcohol intake. But in terms of when someone is sort of more at risk and what can I do, what can I do to help myself, it's some lifestyle measures. So exercise has been shown to be really important and valuable in helping maintain people's memory and thinking. So a mix of aerobic exercise that gets your heart rate up and a bit of resistance training has been shown to be really important. It actually improves the size of the memory on MRI scans and improves people's performance on memory tests. So it's not just chicken soup, and it really makes a big difference. Staying socially engaged is really important. You meet people, you feel good, it helps you engage, keep your language skills up. Doing things which are cognitively stimulating, like music, reading, puzzles, games, joining a walking group. The Mediterranean diet has been shown to be really helpful in terms of preventing dementia, going on to dementia.
So there's
as well.
There's a lot there for us to unpack, and I guess this week it's so important. Dementia Action Week for 2019 is on right now. Thank you so much for coming on Fitter Happier for us today to tell us a little bit more.
You're very welcome.
If anybody would like some more information, you can head on over to healthywa.wa.gov.au.